How's your journey? It's doing all right. Good to see everybody. Thank you for being with us online. Welcome to this morning. I'm going to ask wherever you are to stand for the reading of Scripture. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 16, 1 through 4. Cool little section of Scripture here. Jesus had an encounter with some religious leaders way deep into his ministry, and they kept asking him for signs, and he finally said, "I'm done." And he lays into him. Listen to this. Matthew 16, 1 through 4. Jesus says the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them without doing a sign. Sounds like he's kind of done, doesn't he? Father, we come before you this morning. In the name of your Son, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Lord, we come here. Why? To worship in spirit. To worship in truth. We come, Lord, to learn. We come to sit at the feet of Jesus. Jesus, may your spirit fall upon us and may we learn from you this day. And Jesus, we ask, God, that you would help us to interpret the signs of the times. What days are we living in, Jesus? Speak to our hearts this morning, we pray. And we pray this for your glory and in your holy name. And all those who love Jesus would say what?
Amen.
Amen. And it's good to be with you all. And you all may be seated. By the way, I just want to say a few things. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. And we're going to have some really cool stuff set up for Mother's Day. We've got some cool photo ops opportunities. Our goal is to make moms feel really special on Sunday. We're even creating a mom chair. It's called the Queen's Chair. And if mom sits in this chair and she has her scepter and her queen's crown, whatever mom asks that day, she gets. And so we're going to have different sessions where moms can sit together and take pictures. And it's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time on next Sunday for Mother's Day as we honor moms. By the way, on Saturday, I think it's the first time in a year, we're going to have our first men's breakfast as we begin to allow things to start opening up. So this Saturday, we're going to have our men's breakfast here in the Building B at 8:30, and we'll get a chance to be together for that. And so the storm is kind of easing a bit. Praise the Lord. God, we lift before you our brothers and sisters in India. Do I hear an amen? They're going through it. You know, we're so blessed to live in this country. God bless America, and thank goodness for vaccines. Thank goodness for the ability for us to be able to kind of see the other side of the storm. Last Sunday, I showed you a picture of a sailing ship, and I've been looking at, as I've been reflecting, I guess you could say, I love this picture because it shows a sailing ship that's come through the storm, and it's kind of sitting there, and it's been battered and beaten by the waves. And it's kind of doing an assessment, like, how did we come through the storm? And last Sunday, I shared a sermon about kind of assessing where have we been as a church kind of coming through the storm. And I shared last Sunday that in some ways, going through the COVID storm, it's been, in some aspects, probably the finest hour for our church. Because if a church can be measured on how it loves one another and takes care of one another, there was no better year than last year in many aspects. For the way that this church just took care of each other. It was beautiful to watch and see. And a lot of that happens in small groups. I encourage you, if you're not in a growth group, to get in one, because that's where a lot of sharing our faith and kind of stirring in our faith happens. I shared this picture as another picture of a neighborhood, because I love how Jesus says that, you know, the church, we all build our foundation on Jesus, but we live in a neighborhood of other people. You know, we live in a spiritual neighborhood, and this church is many aspects of spiritual neighborhood. Who do you share life with in your spiritual neighborhood? And notice the storms. This neighborhood went through this storm together. We all went through a storm together. in our neighborhood, in our spiritual community, right? It's beautiful to see. So if last week I reflected on the past, this Sunday Pastor Frank's going to kind of ponder about the future. 2,000 years ago, the religious leaders of the day were confused about Jesus. See, there are physical storms and there are spiritual storms. When Jesus of Nazareth hit the scene, he caused a spiritual storm all throughout Israel. And the religious leaders didn't know what to do with him. He caused a whirlwind, religiously, spiritually, that's still spinning through the earth today. And the religious leaders couldn't get a handle on Jesus. And you know, when you listen to Jesus, he did miracles from Matthew chapter 1 all the way up to Matthew 16. They're still saying, can you show us a sign? How many signs do you think he had done in the first 16 chapters of the Gospel of Matthew? A bunch. And they're like, we need another sign. And Jesus chastised them as spiritual leaders. You can predict the weather, but you can't see the spiritual signs of the times, especially you, Sadducees and Pharisees, those that had studied the scriptures, you couldn't see it, and he lays into them that they couldn't see the spiritual times that was happening. The Old Testament predicts a Messiah coming. The Old Testament predicts and the New Testament reveals. And here are these guys, and the Messiah is in their midst, and they're missing it, and he lets them have it. And it makes me, as a spiritual leader, are you very good at telling the weather? We cheat nowadays, don't we? We all have on our phones a weather app, don't we? We always are looking, oh, I wonder if it's going to rain next week. It's funny, a few weeks ago, Cindy and I we woke up to the sound of rain in our house. I'm like, this wasn't on the app. And she's like, is that rain outside? I'm like, I think it is. And doggone it. Sometimes those apps can be wrong. How are you interpreting the weather? How are you interpreting the signs of the times? Spiritual storms. See, we can cheat even in this if we listen to the teachings of Jesus. Learning from Jesus, right? You know, we just finished a series. Jesus went up on a mountain early in his ministry, and he gave the famous Sermon on the Mount. And we did a series called Knowing Jesus, It's Important. Learning from Jesus is the ultimate source of wisdom. Jesus gave a powerful sermon on a mountain 2,000 years ago at the beginning of his ministry. It's in Galilee, right around the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful. Did you know that Jesus also gave another famous sermon at the end of his ministry on another mountain? But this mountain isn't in Galilee, it's just outside of Jerusalem. It's called the Mount of Olives. And on Tuesday before Jesus died, he had come through Jerusalem and he had said that the temple's going to be destroyed, and he shocked the disciples. And when they were on the other side at the Mount of Olives, he gave what theologians call the Olivet Discourse. And the Olivet Discourse can be found in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. And it all centers around a question that the disciples asked Jesus. And the question was, when is this going to happen? One. And when will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? When will the temple be destroyed? And when are you going to come in power and great glory? And when you read Jesus' response, it's recorded in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. And Jesus begins answering their question. And he talks a lot about when the temple will be destroyed, and the Jewish nation says it's going to be taken into captivity, but then he says, but later on it's going to be brought back, which is miraculous. That's mostly Luke 21. I want to read Matthew 24's account this morning, because it's interesting. And let me just read it for you. And I want us to open our spiritual apps. Jesus is going to give us weather predictions of the last days. Okay? They wrote this 2,000 years ago. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, Matthew 24, the disciples came to him privately Tell us, they said, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, claiming I'm the Messiah, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars, rumors of wars. But see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Birth pains. I've been focusing on these next verses recently. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Notice this. And then the end will what? Come. Jesus says before he returns, there will be wars and natural disasters. There'll be famines. And actually in Luke 21, he puts in the word pestilence, which means contagious diseases. Interesting, a year ago this time, when you read in the Jerusalem Post, as they were trying to describe COVID-19, they call it the pestilence. In the Jewish mindset, this COVID thing's a pestilence. That was interesting. Pestilence means a contagious disease. There'll be an increase of wars and natural disasters and pestilences as like birth pains, right? This morning here's my thoughts. I believe that we've just come through a storm, but brothers and sisters, I believe that we're in the beginnings of another storm. Spiritually. Globally. See, where do we stand in God's prophetic timetable in regards to this section of Scripture? How do we interpret the signs of the times that we're living in the 21st century? Have wars increased in intensity since Jesus said this? Answer? Yes. You know that in the 20th century, more human beings were killed in war in the last century than in the last two millennia combined? World War I, World War II, the purges of in China, the purges in Soviet Union, Vietnam, Korea. I mean, you name it. Do you know that more human beings was killed in war in the last 100 years than in the last 1900 years combined? Is natural disasters increasing or decreasing? They are increasing. Is contagious diseases in the world increasing or decreasing? Have you thought about this? Did you know that 100 years ago there was a thing called the Spanish flu that killed millions in Europe? Then there was the influenza of 1957. There was the Hong Kong flu of 1968 and 69. Did you know that 1 to 4 million people died in the world during 1968 and 69 of the Hong Kong flu? Did y'all know that during the Vietnam War? There's the SARS outbreak of 2004, 2002 to 2004. How about the swine flu of 2009 and 10? And now we're in a pandemic, maybe coming to the side of COVID-19. How many people have died of this in the world? Does anyone know? Over 3 million? Birth pains? Birth pains. How did Jesus know this? Because he's God. He's God. You can look at this scripture, Matthew 24 and Luke. By the way, after World War II, the nation of Israel was reestablished, fulfilling prophecies of Luke 21. It's incredible. The slaughter of the Jewish people and the Holocaust and their desire for a homeland for 2,000 years. And after, in 1948, their nation's reborn again. When was the last time a people group kept their ethnic identity and religion for 2,000 years, was kicked out of their nation that they were living in or their home, and for 2,000 years they lived as slaves throughout the Roman world, and after 2,000 years they went back to their homeland again. Anyone? One people, the Jews. That's a miracle. Their ethnic identity, their language, their religion, 2,000 years. This country is only 200 years old. Miracle. See, I'm a Christian because it's true. This is the stuff that converted me. I've been focusing on 9 through 14. 9 through 14. Jesus talks about wars and rumors of wars, but then he begins to talk about the spiritual conditions that's going to be on planet Earth right before he comes. Listen to this. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray, and they'll hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will go cold, but the one who stands firm to the end, Jesus says, they'll be saved. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world, and then the end will come. These are not my favorite verses in the Bible. Pastor Frank, what's your favorite verses in the Bible? These are not them. I don't like verses of persecution, right? I like John 17:3. This is eternally we know God, right? These are not my favorite verses in the Bible. But what a sober description of what the world would look like when Jesus returns. Question, are these storm clouds on the horizon? Is the edge of the storm possibly already here? See, in these verses, Jesus says that four things will be happening on the earth before he comes. And I want you to, let's just talk about these a little bit this morning, right? Number one, a global persecution of the family of Jesus. A global persecution of the family of Jesus. If you're going to take notes with me this morning, note number one. Jesus says that what will be happening on the earth before he returns is a global persecution of the family of Jesus. Now, the followers of Jesus, they've always been persecuted. The 12 apostles died horrible deaths as martyrs, even today. 2,000 years later, there's government-approved, sponsored persecution of the followers of Jesus in places like China, the Middle East, India, parts of Africa, happening parts of the world. But Jesus says that one day, right before he comes, there will be a global persecution. It says all nations, all nations. And now, friends, I used to read this. And I used to say, I just don't see how that could possibly happen in America. I used to read this and I'd say, I see the word all and I'm like, this has to be further down than ever because I just can't see this happening in America. See, America was founded on Christian principles. The Puritans coming here seeking religious freedom. The Declaration of Independence when this nation was born. 200 and some years ago, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all mankind is created equal, and that they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. This was the beginnings of this country. The presuppositions of this country is that God exists. He's the Creator, and God gives rights to human beings, and the job of the government is to protect these rights. See, we're not here to serve the government's here to serve us. This is the presuppositions of our country. Where did our founding fathers get these ideas? The Bible. John Quincy Adams says this, the highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one moment, the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. John Quincy Adams, his dad, wrote the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. His dad was the second president of the United States. He was the president of the United States. And he says, I saw all this happen. What did the revolution, it created in one moment, the bonds of civil government with the bonds of Christianity. Patrick Henry says it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find all these quotes. There's a great ministry called Wall Builders. Type it in. You can see they've documented all the faith of the founding fathers. They were all Christians by their own words. All of them were, all the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were all elders in their churches. I would read this and I go, this can't happen in America, because America is founded on biblical principles. I don't think this way anymore. See, I can see this happening in America. And in some ways, it's already happening. I'm a chaplain of the police department. I'm all about law. Last Thanksgiving, when we were ordered to lock down the second time, I got so many cries from you saying, don't do it. Pastor Frank, don't shut down the church. Pastor Frank, I'm struggling with depression. I'm struggling with loneliness. I'm struggling with anxiety. I need to worship. Please don't shut down the church. Pastor Frank, the governor up in Sacramento is out there without a mask eating in a restaurant while he tells us not to. They're all hypocrites. Pastor Frank, don't do it. Pastor Frank, the casinos are open in Nevada. You can go in Nevada and gamble, but you can't go worship in a church. Don't do it, Pastor Frank. And just then that week, some judge down in San Diego says that you can open strip clubs, but you couldn't go to church? Did you hear about the pastor down in San Diego that declared his church a family-friendly strip club that Sunday? And he took off his shirt, and all the congregation's all, woo, woo, and he says, that's enough, now let's talk about Jesus. That was so hard for me as a pastor, as a chap, to say, we're going to keep opening our doors. We're going to keep doing every guideline. It was safer for you to come here and worship on a Sunday morning than to walk into Price, Costco, or Walmart. We had done everything possibly to keep people safe, but if you want to come in and worship, public safety will be here. But you have, see, our Constitution was written, the First Amendment says we have the right of assembly and the right of worship, not to go to a strip club and not to go to a casino. And the government was shutting down worship and assembly unless you want to go gamble or go to a strip club. See, I cannot believe what's happening in this country. I can see it. Can you? In order for Jesus to make this happen, there will be a global persecution of Christians. How could that be in a country founded by Christians on the gospel of Jesus? And now here we are in the 21st century. Can you see it? Is the storm clouds coming, friends? If I'm right, then persecution of you is going to get more intense. Is it happening? Is it here? Are we staring at this prophetic storm? Jesus says, Matthew 24, 9-14, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will be betrayed and hated by each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Note number two. If one's a persecution, note number two, Jesus says a great falling away of the true faith handed down to us by Jesus and the apostles is going to happen. A great apostasy, a great falling away. Jesus says that on the earth, right before he returns, there'll be a great falling away of Christians globally on the earth. You can't turn away from the faith if you weren't in it, or at least exposed to it. There'll be a great, in the sense, purification of Christians, of true Christians. Jesus says that there will be a great falling away. Now, the Apostle Paul, it's so cool. The Apostle Paul, he studied Jesus' teachings, and he actually hung out with him. Amazing. And he writes in detail a bit more of what these days will look like. And I just want to read to you from 1 Timothy Chapter 4, 1 and 2. Listen to this. Paul says this. kind of describing more in detail what Jesus said. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. It's doctrines of demons. That there's almost a snake in the grass happening in the world, causing deception upon the whole world as he did in Adam and Eve, right? In the garden. A snake. Such teachings comes through hypocritical liars. So there'll be teachers out that are hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Second Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires of what they want to do or what they believe is right and wrong, their own desires, they will gather around themselves great numbers of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth to myths. See, in the last days, Jesus says there will be a great spirit of deception happening in the church. A falling away of true faith. Falling away of the person of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. Is this happening? Is this storm here or coming? See, when you just turn on it, many denominations are warring amongst themselves in the world and in America, fighting over things that are basic doctrinal truths. Sin and I sent my son to a Christian college, not Biola, I need to say that. He came home one day and he said, Dad, in my theology class, this professor was teaching this. And I was horrified. He says, Dad, I couldn't believe it sitting in this class. Point Loma. Nice beach, beautiful view. I said, Jordan, you need to go make an appointment with that professor. Sit him down and ask him, this is what I heard you say. And ask this guy, if Jesus was sitting in this office right there, would he agree with this professor's teaching? And so my son did. He made an appointment with his professor, theology professor, PhD. He sat down and said, I'm really struggling with what you were teaching in this class. And the guy was back and forth. And Jordan says, if Jesus was in a chair sitting here right next to us, would he be agreeing with what you're saying? He said his professor got quiet. And then he looked at my son and said, probably not. And my son said, then why are you teaching this? See, any pastor, teacher, denomination, Christian school, or church that teaches things that Jesus wouldn't agree with, they're wrong. FYI, if you believe something that Jesus would disagree with, guess who's wrong? See, I say this all the time. If someone can raise from the dead, you should probably listen to them because they might know more than you. They do know more than you. This church is here to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus, period. Jesus says in the last days there'll be a great falling away from the faith, and there'll be warring within the body of Christ over what is truth about the teachings of Jesus and error. Is this happening? Is this happening? Can you see it? Because I can. Matthew 24:9-4. Listen to this. Then you will be handed over and be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me, Jesus says. And at that time you will turn away from the faith. Many will turn away from the faith. They'll be betrayed and hated by each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Listen to this. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but those who stand firm to the end will be saved. Jesus said this 2,000 years ago, a birth pain, an increase of wickedness in the world. I love Star Trek. God bless Gene Roddenberry. The world, humanity is going to get better and better. We're getting worse. Jesus said we would be worse. We would be more violent than ever before he comes. Take notes of me. An increase of wickedness in the world. Jesus says when he returns, the world will be a mess. That the violence will be all over the earth. People's love will grow cold. Selfishness will rule the day. Jesus says in the days of Noah, right before the judgment of God, it'll be on the globe. Another judgment of the Almighty. The Apostle Paul, once again, picking up the teachings of Jesus, brings more detail into it. Listen to this. Let me read this slowly. As I read this scripture, you tell me, is this increasing or decreasing in the world? 2 Timothy 3:1-4. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Now, that's not happening, is it? Lovers of money. No, that's not happening. Boastful. Arrogant. Proud. Abusive. Imagine a society where the whole children are disobedient to their parents. Can you imagine a society that's ungrateful? No, that's certainly not happening, is it? A world that's ungrateful? Unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. Do you want to live in a world like this? Do we live in it already? Not lovers of good, but they're treacherous. People are rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Which of these do you not see in our society increasing? Which ones are not growing exponentially, week to week, month to month, year to year? Man, young people, ask the older people who's lived on planet Earth for like 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And I was amazed. There's a statistic that in the 1950s, the number one problem that the public school system had to deal with was gum chewing and running in the halls and wearing jeans. 50s in America. Do you have any idea what the number one concerns are in the public school system today? Violence, assault, drug abuse? I mean, man, I remember the days when we never even locked our doors growing up as a kid in the 70s. The world is changing at a rapid pace. I saw this picture and I thought it was perfect. First we overlook evil, then we permit evil, then we legalize evil, then we promote evil, then we celebrate evil, and then we persecute those who still call it evil. Anyone? Doesn't that just describe the world that, to me, that's what this world I'm living in, I don't know about you. How are you at telling the weather? Can you interpret the signs of the times? Jesus ripped into the leaders 2,000. You can't even see what's happening. Jesus got up on a hillside and told his disciples, this is what's going to be taking place. Question, is it happening now? Is this storm, can you see the storm clouds of this coming? Or maybe we're already hitting, maybe the storm's starting to blow already. What do you think? Man, it's interesting. Our founding father, I believe it was John Adams, the second president, he says, our Constitution was written for a moral and religious people. It is completely inadequate to the governance of any other. Our founding father said that you cannot govern morality. It comes from the heart. God has to govern morality. Our Constitution, this country that was created 200 years ago, was designed for moral religious people. It's completely inadequate to the governance of any other. See, the more we create a godless society, the more you're going to see the increase of wickedness and violence and evil. Turn on the news. A godless society. Is this just in America? Is this around the world? See, then you will be handed over, Jesus says. Listen to him. Matthew 24:9-13. I've been looking at this. then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. Anyone? Does that sound like fun? And you will be hated by all nations because of me. I mean, in the academic world, in the media, in politics, there are many saying that Christians are the problem with America now. Christians are the problem with America. Christians need to be sidelined in America. Christians are the immoral ones. All the problems in the country is because of the Christians. It's an amazing flip that's happened. I can't believe this is happening in my time. But why should I be surprised? Jesus said it. Are we in the last days? Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me, even in America. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Great apostasy. There will be deception, many false prophets appearing and deceiving many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will go cold. But the one who stands firm in the end will be saved. And then Jesus said these words, and the disciples, I'm sure, were listening. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. And I'm sure the disciples said, that's a tall order. I bet they looked at the 12 and said, you mean to tell me that we need to go spread this gospel to the whole world? That's a big... When you walk planet Earth, that's a lot of walking, let alone preaching, right? Note number four. Fourth thing that's going to be happening. The preaching of the gospel to all the nations. The disciples had heard this, they probably said, well, this isn't happening anytime soon. How in the heck are we supposed to take the gospel to all the nations of the world? And they did a pretty decent job. By the time the 12 apostles were done, Andrew was in Britain, crucified, and Thomas was in India. They did a pretty decent job, just with those 12 apostles. But how about 2,000 years later, after Jesus said these words, is the gospel being preached in all the world? Interesting. I heard a professor one time, he was an Asian professor, speaking. He says, when Jesus spoke these words, the gospel spread from the Middle East and it went into Europe. And then he says, and in time it crossed the Atlantic Ocean and came to North America and South America. And then he says, and then it spanned the Pacific Ocean and it's come to the nations of Asia. And he says, and our job, and he was a North Korean or South Korean pastor, he says, our job is to take the gospel back to Jerusalem. And they saw, and it was interesting to hear his mindset. He said, Europe is now a Christian cemetery. He said, North America, the church in North America is fighting for its existence. That's true. He says, but we in China, we in South Korea, he says, the Holy Spirit is upon us and our job is to take the gospel back to Jerusalem. Do you know, as we speak today, that one of the largest underground churches in the world is in Iran? The gospel is spreading around the world. Dr. George Cowan used to be at our church for many years. He was the president of Wycliffe Bible Translators. We still support his daughter as a missionary. His job is to, they want to give the gospel to every language and people group. And I remember Dr. George, one of the last, he says, you know, Frank, he goes, it's amazing what's happening in the days in which we live. Because of technology, we believe in the next 10 to 15 years, we'll be able to translate the Bible into every known language in the world. In the next 10 to 15 years. Do you know when he told me this? About 10 to 15 years ago. The gospel. Jesus said these words. I'm telling you today that this is all happening now. And it's interesting. Jesus says, and when this happens, and then the end will come. And then the end will come. See, how are you at telling the weather? Are you very good? How are you at telling the spiritual weather? What days are we living in? In Matthew 16, Jesus ripped into the religious leaders because they were terrible at seeing the signs happening before them. Jesus went up on a mountain 2,000 years ago and told his church, these will be the signs of the last days. Friends, when you look at this prophetic passage, And the four things that Jesus said to be happening right before he comes. Are these happening here? Am I just off? Or do you think I might have something here? Here's a picture of this house. Again, I'm telling you as a church, we may have come through the storm of COVID-19. I'm telling you there's another storm coming, and maybe it's already here to some degree. If this is going to happen, what do you think Jesus would tell us today? If he could come and sit right here, what do you think he would say to you and I today? If these passages are right at the door of our life, what do you think he would tell us? I think he would tell us to see the times. I think he would tell you. He chastised people that can't seem to see it. I think he would tell you to look hard and see the days we're living in. I think he would tell all of us, you need to see the big picture here. You're going to miss this. I think Jesus would tell us all to be alert. Don't you? I think he would tell you to test all things and make sure no one deceive you. I think he would tell you to be very discerning as a Christian and don't let any false teacher teach you anything that's not right. Do not be deceived. He kept saying it was a theme. Don't be deceived. The church is going to be deceived in the last days. Don't you be deceived by any teacher, pastor, organization, denomination, Christian school, someone with a PhD. Don't listen. Check the Bible. Listen to it. Be a really good student. Build, be rock people. Those who hear these words of mine and build their life upon them is like a person who builds their house upon the rock. And when the storms come, they'll stand because they built their teachings on me, Jesus says. Be a follower of Jesus. I think Jesus would tell us to be courageous in these times. He actually says that. Stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. He says, man, as the darkness is going to get darker, your light's going to shine brighter. If you stand for Jesus, there's going to be a time coming, and maybe it already is, that if you stand for Jesus, you can't hide anymore. You can't hide anymore. Because the darkness is going to get darker, the light will shine. If you think you can hide and be a Christian, a lukewarm Christian, or you're going to be confronted if you live for Jesus. It's coming. And Jesus would tell you, don't worry about it. See, honestly, when I became a believer in 1985, I wasn't too concerned about being popular. Actually, I lost every friend that I had. I didn't mind being a rebel. I knew I was going to go against the storm. Jesus, I mean, I don't mind telling people personally, I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus is. I don't mind telling that to an atheist, an agnostic, anybody. And I'll hit me if you want. If I wanted to win a popularity contest, I wouldn't have been a Christian. You? The days are going to get harder for you. You're either going to shine or you're going to fall away. And there's a great falling away that's going to happen because it's not going to be popular to be a Christian. Used to be. Not anymore. You're going to have to weather a storm. I think Jesus would tell you to shine, man. Proclaim the gospel. Because the days are, man, in the days of Noah, it was, tell the people that judgment's coming. Tell them it's coming. Evil will be judged. Everybody needs the cross, right? Oh, don't have my cross today. I got on my wedding ring. Everybody needs the cross. Preach it in season and out of season. And if they laugh at you, just smile at them. That's okay. What would Jesus tell us? If I'm right and this storm's coming and it's going to get more intense, Pastor Frank's telling my brothers and sisters in my spiritual neighborhood that another storm's, I think, is on the way and probably already here, and you never think about how you plan to prepare for this storm and what do you think Jesus expects from you during this storm and how are you going to get through this storm? And once again, as we close, here's the verse. Hebrews 10:23-25. Here's a great battle plan to get through this. Let us hold unswaveringly to the hope we profess. That means you better hold tight to Jesus or you're going to blow apart. For he who promised is faithful. What did he promise? How about eternal life, forgiveness, everything, right? Let us consider how we may spur on one another toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Listen to this. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Is the day approaching? Do you know Benjamin Franklin, when he signed the Declaration of Independence, he said, he looked at the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. They just declared war on the most powerful country militarily on the planet at the time. And Benjamin Franklin said, we better hang together or they're going to hang us separately. Hey friends, this is a time to hang together. You're going to need your church family in this next season of life. You're going to need your spiritual neighborhood big time. And your spiritual neighborhood's going to need you. This is not the season to forsake the assembly of believers. This is not the season, as Pastor Vince said so beautifully, a spiritual drift. This is not the time for spiritual drift. Read Matthew 24 this week. Read Luke 21 this week. Listen to what Jesus said was going to happen. And listen to what he says. Stand firm until the end. Stand firm. Those that stand firm the end will be saved. Tough times are coming, friends, I think. Last Sunday, I speculated on where we'd been. Now I'm looking into the future. I have a observation of the days in which we're living in as a spiritual pastor. I can see big chunks of Matthew 24 happening and have already happened, being fulfilled. Did you know that prophecy is being fulfilled in your lifetime now, right here? I know, I realize that you might be busy, and but if you just look up for a moment, you're going to see big stuff happening. May we be purified for the days in which we live. And may we be willing to stand for Christ. Because you're either going to stand for Him in these next days, or you're going to fall away. There is no room in the middle anymore. There's no room for lukewarmness anymore as a follower of Jesus. And many have fallen away already. This is the prophecies of Christ. Think about it. Let's pray. Father, I lift before you the teaching of your word this morning and the study of your scripture. I pray, Lord God, for my brothers and sisters in this room. I ask, Jesus, that you would speak into their hearts today. God, I pray that you would equip us from whatever storms is coming before us. Thank you, God, that with you all things are possible. God, I pray that my brothers and sisters in here would not be afraid of man. I pray they would not be afraid of man. May we only be afraid of God. May your calling upon our lives be so radical that they would transform us. God, help us not to walk in fear. Thank you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless my brothers and sisters this day, all those that would hear this message. Jesus, help us to think. We pray this in your name. Amen. Here's a song called I'll Stand. Would you stand with us? And I want you to listen to this song. The song says, I'll stand because of Jesus. Friends, the days to stand are now. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Have you noticed? Do you see it? What a mess. This world needs you now more than ever as the days draw near. Let's sing this.